welcome to the Utah Puck Report. We got a really special episode with the NHL legend Riley Armstrong, and then this guy Danny Briere. Did I say that backwards?
It's backwards, but I'll take it, Jay.
So Riley, a longtime friend of mine and former Utah Grizzly, and is in town right now with Maine to play against the Utah Grizzlies. And Danny, you're the GM. You're the operations manager for Maine.
That's right. That's right.
So before we get into all that, because it's awesome. This is the first year of the Maine Mariners, right? Mariners.
Yep.
And still haven't got the call up for the e-bug, by the way.
Yeah. I was telling Danny that you actually got into a game. I think you played 10 minutes for the Grizz, and no goals against.
No goals against.
They could have used you in Newfoundland about a month ago.
Oh, yeah?
I'm willing like to travel.
I'm willing to travel. But then I played men's league last night, and I gave up 10 goals. But, you know.
different competition for you.
Yeah, they're, you know, whatever. Anyway, so Riley, tell us a little bit. What years were you here with Utah?
It was during the lockout, during the 2012-13 season. Was fortunate. Kevin Colley was the coach. It was when we had Brad Mills. Trevor Lewis came in just off of winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So it was pretty good league at the time. Playing against Alaska when they had Scott Gomez, Brandon Dubinsky, guys like that coming in. So the league was pretty good before the lockout ended.
Yeah, it was. I remember the day because I was e-bugging.
Yeah,
and I was, you know, I knew Trevor was there, and I knew you were there, but your brother came in at one point too.
Yeah, he actually met us up in Alaska, which he was more excited just to go to Alaska than coming in to skate with us. But he came on the bench just to kind of see what the league was about, but to stay on the ice and stay in shape as well.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was there. So when you guys came back from the road trip, I remember being in the net, and I'm like, who is this guy? Like, he's lighting me up. And granted, I give up a lot of goals in these practices anyway, but like I remember he's shooting blocker every time. I'm like, okay, shooting blocker, so I'm going to cheat blocker. And then he still beat me blocker, and then I cheated further blocker. And finally, I went to Stoffel, and I'm like, what is going on? I cannot stop this guy. Who is he? He's like, oh, that's Riley's brother, Colby. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, good thing Danny wasn't shooting against you, because you'd still be searching the net.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
It was fun. All right, so you came into Utah, and you keep coming back. And so you've got kind of a Utah tie now.
Yeah. Yeah, I met my wife here. Just down at the Green Pig.
Yep.
And then our son was born here as well. So we always came back. After I played here, we went over to Europe. I played in Germany and Sweden. But we always had our summers here in Salt Lake. We bought a house down in Harriman at the time. It's awesome. I know all the guys on the team here right now. They always look out. I see their phones are out. They're taking pictures of the mountains. They just can't believe that the scenery around here is this phenomenal.
We talk about it on the show quite a bit, and that's our Utah trap, is that we bring in these outstanding players to come in and play. It was awesome when we were in the AHL,
yep.
And now, you know, we get some pretty good players here in the East Coast League as well. And then they meet our beautiful women, and then they stay. And then our hockey gets better because we end up with good genes, and we end up with good coaches.
Yes.
So, okay, so you go from this, and I remember you and your brother were really excited about doing some hunting and stuff while you were here, but then the lockout ended.
Yeah, and then he took off and had to go back. He was with Montreal at the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think all that kind of stuff, and also you knowing pretty much everybody in town was getting us the little hookups around here too, so it was good.
No, that was pretty cool too, to get texts from you guys and wanting hookups, and then I always just turn it around and hook up like firemen, because firemen know everybody too. And you call me to go fishing. I've got a fishing guy that's a hunterman, or you know, he's a hunter, and he's a firefighter, and he does stuff in Alaska, and you need to do hunting stuff. We know tons of hunters and stuff, so it's usually all other firefighters that we hook you guys up with, and they get a kick out of it. They get to go help some NHL guys too. And then Danny, some Utah people might not be 100% familiar with you, but obviously, by the way, you walk into the building, and all of a sudden jerseys pop up and player cards
pop up.
I've
seen a few flyers, items pop up. Yep.
Yeah, well, there are guys that are not in the building right now that are out on assignments for KSL News that are freaking out because every day he's in a Flyers jersey or a hat. So, I mean, obviously you're known as one of the top playoff performers in the history of the NHL. And I think, and that's not just me saying that. That's if you Google Danny Briere, that's what comes up. So just tell us a little bit about your history. And I'm sorry to do this because everybody knows your history, but where are you from? Tell us about, like, I know you played minors.
I grew up in Canada, French-Canadian, and kind of came up through the ranks, played major junior hockey in Quebec. I was drafted by the Phoenix Coyotes, and I spent some time going back and forth between the Coyotes and the minors for the first 3.5-4 years of my career.
Oh, really?
Before I was able to finally make it for good. Then a year and a half after I made it, I was traded to Buffalo. And that's really where I would say my career started taking off. I meet a lot of people that don't even remember that I played with Phoenix, and I was in the organization for 5 years. So in Buffalo, I was there for four and a half years. Coming out of lockout, we had some really good teams. And then they didn't re-sign me. I became a free agent and signed in Philadelphia. And played a lot of years, I think 6 years in Philadelphia. The last 2 years of my career, I finished 1 year in Montreal, 1 year in Colorado. But Philadelphia was home, and that's still where I am today.
And I think that's what most fans, you know, you're a Flyer to most fans.
I think that's where we had the most success in the playoffs as well.
You and Hartnell, and who else?
It was Ville Leino. And Hartnell.
Yeah, what a line.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Then you guys get in a couple, like, movies or TV shows and stuff together. Did that happen at all?
A few of the guys got involved with some on movie sets and a couple movies, but I wasn't part of that crew. I stayed away. I was home. I had the boys at home to keep an eye on.
Okay. Yeah. So, 97 draft year?
96
draft. All right. I remember because, you know, Phoenix was our closest team. So I would, when my son was born in 98, we would go to some games and he was like 2 or 3 or whatever. And I was able to catch a lot of your first games in Phoenix when you were up in. So we were following, and you were an impact player. I was always surprised anytime you got, because it was Springfield at the time, right?
It was Springfield and the minors. Yeah.
And I followed it pretty heavily. I was always surprised that you just didn't stay right away.
Well, the Coyotes at the time had a very old team. And, you know, there was a lot of pressure. They had just moved from Winnipeg in 96. Yeah. And there was a lot of pressure to perform, to really put their footprints in the market there. So they needed to make a push. And they went, for the most part, with an older team that had a little bit more playoff experience. They didn't have as much time to spend with young guys coming up and building for the future. So I was kind of caught in that trap a little bit until I was traded to Buffalo.
Okay. And then Buffalo, you get to be friends with Thomas Vanek?
Played with Thomas Vanek.
Now I'm remembering how I was almost going to do events with you, because Vanek was one of my guys.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And we had a very exciting team coming out of the lockout. In 2005, it was the new rules coming into play, less clutching and grabbing, calling more penalties.
Right.
And the Sabres and the coaching staff decided to go with a fast, speedy team that would, you know, instead of going back to the old school hockey of muck and grabbing, they decided to be at the forefront and really change the approach, take advantage of power plays and speed. And that's why we had success for a couple of years with a very small and speedy team.
And it's funny you bring that up, because it's one of the things we were just talking about before with Greg Lieb. Because I think if the years would have changed a little bit, because Greg Lieb is a phenomenal, phenomenal player. But he's like 5'6".
Yep.
And once 6'2 guys start grabbing onto him and slowing him down, you know,
it's tough to get anywhere.
Right. So, but you've seen the impact those rule changes have made, and obviously with Buffalo and those faster teams. But now the NHL is so fast.
Yeah.
And the movement it's amazing to see what these guys can do. And, you know, back in the day, the hockey purists, as they'd call themselves, you know, they still wanted the hooking, and we still have guys that played in the 80s or whatever here.
Yeah.
And you'll see them in men's league even. A guy will get away from him, and you just get the big old hook in him. And
it's tough to get it out of your game when you start.
Well, you're coached from a little guy, right?
Yeah.
You know? Well, it was amazing, and you know, you had an amazing career, and thank you for all the amazing moments to watch. That was from just a huge hockey fan. It was, you know, you were one of our favorite players to watch.
So. Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Pretty electric on the ice. So now you both make the transition, and you become a coach.
Yep.
And it was weird because you and I were talking. I'm trying to send you Utah players because you were coaching a 16, 18 AAA.
Yeah, I was doing like a U18 team up in New Hampshire. And I did it for like 5 months. And then the Penguins called for me to go to Wheeling and be an assistant there. And took the opportunity to go there and get my foot in the door in pro hockey. It was good that I knew the league. I already played in the league, so I knew what I was getting myself into, even as an assistant coach. And I did a year and a half there, and when I heard that Maine was getting a team, I extended a resume out to Danny and Paul Holmgren. And I did it actually fairly early in the year, and it was right after All-Star break. I honestly kind of just like forgot about it, of what was going on. I was, you know, into what I was doing in Wheeling, and then I came home from All-Star break and I had an email from Danny about doing a interview process up in Philly, and I was like totally caught off guard by the whole thing because I was, you know, just came back from All-Star break, hanging out with the family and doing all that, so it went pretty quick.
So how did you get involved with this? And this is one of the rare occasions where the Flyers own this team, right?
Correct.
So that doesn't happen a lot on the East Coast, like more and more in the AHL.
Yep.
So I guess I got a two-part question. Is this something you think you're going to see more in the East Coast League as far as NHL ownership? And then how did your role become into this?
Well, I think you're seeing more and more NHL teams, I'd say, pay more attention to the CHL. It's a lot better than what I remembered when I started playing. The league is getting better and better, better players, better organized. I mean, it's a really professional league now. And I've been very impressed with the league, how the league is run, how the teams are managed. So you're seeing more NHL teams now pay more attention and have a trickle-down effect on, you know, from the NHL to the AHL and ECHL. So I think it's going to keep going. I just look at Pittsburgh a few years ago when they won back-to-back cups. You know, so many guys that we had never heard of came up and helped them out on their fourth line. Now they needed help from the ECHL to come up and you know, replace those guys in the AHL, and they had really good success at the AHL level as well. So I think it's important, and NHL teams are starting to realize that now.
Yeah, we're noticing it this year in Utah with the affiliation with Colorado.
Yeah.
And we brought it up on the show a ton, is that the Avalanche have really taken, like, pride and ownership of this organization. And we've watched, you know, the play is better, the players are happier, they're treated better here, the coaching staff is happier because they're getting the support they think they need. They're spending more, you know, Colorado's sending skill development coaches.
Yep.
And so...
And it helps throughout the lineup, all the teams for the organization.
Right. And it's awesome to see.
Yep.
So what were you doing last year before this came about?
So when I retired, Paul Holmgren invited me to kind of spend some time and learn what he was doing in the business side of the organization in Philly after I moved back when I retired, and I did that for a couple of years, and then you know, all of a sudden they approached me about that they were thinking about buying a ECHL franchise and see if I was able to or interested in running it. So it didn't take long. It was very enticing, and I jumped on board. But we had to start from scratch. So, you know, from the name, the colors, the staff. You know, yes, it was bought by the Flyers, and Paul and a few of the bosses at Comcast, you know, would be in charge. But they needed to find some people to go down the list and run the organization. So that's how it started. And, you know, haven't looked back. I'm having more fun than I've had since I retired.
Yeah, it seems like, but man, what a thing to take on. Like, that's so much. And I'm surprised that there's no Flyers colors in your color scheme.
I tried, believe me, I tried.
But for me, like, we, in high school, we were the Murray Spartans, and we just bought Flyers jerseys and put, because whatever the Flyers were wearing that year, that's what we wear. It's still that way for that team. So we're orange and white, orange and black.
Yeah.
So I was surprised when I found out that that was the affiliation, that there was no, but, you know, the scheme works out, the name works, it's more fitting for the Maine area.
Exactly. We wanted to, you know, really go and get the people of Maine and make them feel like this was their team. It was built for them, and the colors, the name, everything was to kind of send them and feel like they were a part of it.
Yeah. No, it definitely seems like you captured that. And how is it growing so far? How are the numbers as far as fans? Is it
A little softer maybe than we expected, but overall it's going in the right direction. Having a team in Riley that the team is winning, positioned themselves really well down the stretch. It helps obviously when you have a team that performs well on the ice. So we're going in the right direction, and I think, you know, people at first had some questions regarding the level of play because they were used to the AHL, and it takes time to make them realize that the ECHL is a good league, almost just as good as the AHL. But it's coming around. We're getting more and more support from sponsorships in the area, so it's moving in the right direction. We're very excited about it.
Well, that's good. We're excited about it, and it's been fun watching what's happening with you because. Once a Grizzly, always a Grizzly for a lot of the people around here. And I see a lot of people still post about you, and I don't know if you saw last night, even on our Utah Puck Report page, people are posting things about Riley's in town and the coach. And then I've gotten tagged from your wife or shared with whatever, and probably 12 or 13 other people about a TV show that NBC, I think it's NBC that's putting it on.
Yep.
And can you tell me even just a little bit about that? Do you know what's going on?
It's called Puckland, and these guys are from Portland. They do a lot of other TV shows they've done in the past, and they just wanted to put together a little docu-series on the new team coming in. So they started filming from when I first got hired, I think even probably before
even
I was
before.
Hired. They were filming Danny coming up to Portland, and even how they were hiring the front office staff. To building the whole team, and they traveled with us through training camp. Like they were there on the ice. We're skating, and a couple camera guys almost got hit because they were like right in there. But I've seen a couple of the previews, I guess, of the show, and you know it looks really nice. And I don't know when the air date is exactly for it, but I know they're getting a lot of attention out there with social media.
Yeah, well, it looks cool.
They're doing a really good job. And for people that want to know how it came about, how you build a team from scratch, you see a lot in that. And they started shooting from the first press conference we had in Portland when we announced that a hockey team was coming back to Maine. We had no name, no colors, no nothing. So you really see from the start and how the thing gets built up.
I didn't know what it was about, and that sounds awesome. I didn't know if it was just about you or because I barely
he's the
seen
star
it.
Of the show.
No,
well, how could he not be? I mean,
exactly.
Look at this good looking guy. No, but that sounds really cool. And just take me just backstepping a little bit. What is it like to? What do you look for in a head coach when you have nobody in your organization? Is there like a draft board? Do you have a bunch of guys on here that these guys have these qualities? Or
yeah, and honestly, I mean, we went through an interview process with a lot of them. You know, you're at first too, because I was a rookie in that position as well. Had lots of help from Paul Holmgren in Philly because he had done that many, many times. But ultimately, he gave me the decision to make. You know, and you rely a lot on people you trust, people that you know in the hockey world. Because, you know, I didn't know a lot of guys that could fit the bill. You know, when I met Riley, I got back to Paul and I said, I found the guy. And he says, well, bring him in. And you know, from that point on, everything kind of came really easy. And now, you know, I think both our wives are worried that we spend more time with each other than we do with them.
A real bromance.
But that's the hockey world. And, you know, every day you're, you know, trying to find players. You're trying to make sure the team is going in the right direction. So there's definitely a good chemistry there, and that helps.
Oh, that's good. Well, I don't want to take up a ton of your guys' time. I just obviously we're Utah Grizzlies fans because we're in Utah, but we're totally rooting for you guys and want to see you guys do well. Want to see the team do well. We wish you the best of luck, not the rest of the weekend, but the rest of the I don't even know what happened last night.
We won. We won 4-1.
Oh, okay.
We had it was hard. I was talking to the guys just about traveling to Utah, the time change.
Yeah, altitude.
Actually our medical trainer here is Cole Libby, who spent 2 years the Grizzlies trainer as well. So we have a couple of ties for us coming back, and he brought these oxygen boosters on the trip as well. So he was prepared and to keep the guys in good shape.
Yeah, it sounds like it worked last night.
Yeah.
Well, and now you guys are off. Gonna hit Park City and look around and
a little show Danny around, show his wife around the area a little bit, and head up to Park City.
I think when you get to Park City, you'll be surprised. You can probably walk around Salt Lake City and not get recognized as much, but you're gonna get recognized in Park City.
Well, we'll see.
There are a lot of hockey fans up there.
Oh yeah, good.
Yeah. Okay, well, we don't want to take up much more of your time, but I just want to tell you guys, good luck on everything.
Thanks, Jim.
We're fans of both years, and that's really it. We can't say how much we appreciate you guys taking time to come to our little show. But
awesome.
Thanks a lot. And
thank you.
You can catch these guys. Look for that show. We'll put posts up and talk about Puckland, and I'll post it. As soon as it becomes available, we'll put it on the Utah Puck Report. We'll keep track of how Riley's doing and how Maine does for the rest of the season. We'll adopt them. They'll be like our, you know, we'll have Utah, and then we'll have Maine as our sister ECHL team. And there are rumors that you might have other jobs available soon.
In the goaltending department?
No, more for you. I mean, I'm always open. But, all right, before we go, can I ask you about Carter Hart?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so all right, we're not leaving yet. Tell me about this kid's phenomenal. Is he the real deal?
I believe he is. What we've seen so far from him, I think people talk about how athletic he is, how composed he is. He's been working with a sports psychologist for a long time, and I think the part that impresses me the most on my side is he's good at making the key saves at key times.
Right.
It's not, and that's not a given. It sounds easy, but knowing when to make the big saves to keep your team in the game or keep him ahead, and he seems to have that knack when he feels that pressure coming on and a boost is needed for him. That's what I've been most impressed with him.
Within his first 10 or 15 games, one, not only did he come in and kind of right the ship, which he kept kind of saying he was going to do, but he also made the highlight reel
a few times.
Like in 20 games, he was probably 5 times on the highlight reel with those saves, big saves that should have been goals, should have sunk the team.
And that's why the Flyers are still alive. I mean, this chance for playoffs are slim, but because of him, he kept them alive and kept them in the race.
Honestly, surprised to see Simmons move because I thought the Flyers were just buckling down towards playoffs.
It's tough to see a guy like Wayne Simmons go because he represents what the Flyers are all about for so many years.
For sure, yeah.
When you think about it, it was going to be tough to re-sign him, and they probably agreed and figured that it was better to get something in return rather than lose a key player, a key element in their lineup for nothing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
That makes sense. But it just, we totally get it, and it does make sense to get, draft picks and get some future. But I really thought that, and I'm the other NHL analysts were thinking that Philadelphia's going to make a push and they could be a threat, and Simmons was he's a bully. He really fits.
He's definitely a flyer,
he definitely fit the bill. Anyway, again, we'll actually leave the show this time. So thanks a lot for coming on. Good luck the rest of the season and with everything else you guys got going on. We'll keep it track.
Awesome.
We'll keep
thanks,
in touch
Jay.
With you. All right.
Thanks, Jay.
That's the Utah Puck Report.